The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. I was thinking about the agenda for today's chat, Skulk, and the only thing I can think of really, there's two things I can think of. The strength of the South African rand, the results coming out from certain South African companies, but mainly overseas, European and American companies, and also the continued volatility when it comes to China tech stocks or stocks linked to China tech stocks, namely, of course, Prosus and Naspers. What else is on your agenda?
No, I think you've covered it. We can end the podcast there. I think we've pretty much covered it.
That's Skulk Lowe from PSG. Well,
have a great one.
Okay, off you go. Where do you want to start?
You've literally covered it. I think, you know, I've been reading over the past 2 days, you know, this whole, you know, China regulatory environment, you know, the what's been happening around the whole Prosus, Naspers thing, the COVID flare-ups in China. And, you know, the more I read, it's just this typical thing about the more you know, the less you know what to do. I mean, you know, we know more or less, and I'm not going to cover Naspers or Prosus today. We know it's a very, very deep, it's called a discount to NAV. I think the one thing that did stand out for me, you know, I've been showing this graph, you know, over, let's call it the past 2 years, because we know less than 2 years ago, so to be exact, September 2019, we had the big split. You know, when I call the big split, is that's where Prosus actually split out of Naspers.
Right.
And, you know, I think up to fairly recent, you know, the report back was always, you know, if you just buy, you know, in that stage, sold all your Naspers when they made the announcement, invested in Tencent, you would have been off a hell of a lot better. You know, on one stage, I think in dollar terms, you would have been off better, more than 25% better. That would have justified your capital gains. It would have justified pretty much everything.
I was going to say that. Would it have absorbed the capital gains tax and still given you some profit?
Correct. You would have been a lot better off, and you would have pretty much you took away this whole, you know, are we going to see a deeper discount, et cetera, et cetera. But make a long-winded story very, very short. I mean, we always sort of debated, what would it take to narrow the discount? You know, what would it take? Now you buy back shares, or you start, you know, allocating giving back some of these shares, you know, give back some of the shares in Tencent, sell some of the shares in Tencent. Hell, all that it actually basically took was a massive fall off the cliff for Tencent to basically narrow the discount, because effectively now you're back to square one. If you had your Naspers in September 2019, and you sold it, forget about any capital gains events, you would have been pretty much off exactly the same, being either and having the Naspers and going the process route or going to Tencent. So that is quite strange, because, you know, I would have never thought that you would have taken a massive drop, a massive implosion in Tencent to actually just immediately see a narrow in the discount going forward. I think that's the big question. You know, we've had a lot of, you know, my colleagues and I, we had a lot of debates over the past week, and like I said, I mean, I've never done so much reading on one company, you know, over the past 2 days, and there's risks, and I want to tell the listeners out there. So I think that the big question remains, you know, the way forward. You know, from a speculative point of view, and I want to really emphasize this, from a speculative point of view, short term trading. Yes, I do think that there's some short term opportunities in you know, the likes of the Tencent, and let's just look at Tencent specifically. I looked at the 200-week, it's called a share price movement for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. and I placed a 200-week moving average on that same share price. And it's interesting to note, when you look at it over the last 10 years, there were three major times where it actually went and tested this 200-week moving average. And every time it bounced up again. So if you look at that, and according to that as a possible opportunity, yes, I do think that there's a possible, you know, short-term opportunity. I do think, before you jump in with your chart, I do want to emphasize that the reason for the drop-offs, the VIE structures, the regulatory environment in China that can mingle in at any time, any place, it's called political uncertainty. I mean, the problems that persist within China, where they say, well, we're going to, we're still, focused on pulling Taiwan in despite the rest of the world saying leave Taiwan alone. There's many, many of these things which investors should really, really consider before they look at this, let's call it speculative buy. Yes, it's still got a very, very deep, and look at NASPAS price, it's still got a very, very deep and very wide discount to NAV, which do look as a short-term opportunity. But just be mindful and be very careful when you, from a risk point of view, just be very careful when you invest in this company.
Okay, be careful.
Go for it. I would like to hear your
take. I'm just looking at the short term because, I can't look back further than 6 months. I can't even remember 6 hours ago what I was doing. But let's compartmentalize my memory into 6 months chunks. Okay, so give me an idea of how much Prosus is down in euro terms. I'm using local currencies here, and I'll use the Hong Kong dollar when it comes to Tencent. In euro terms, how much is Prosus down over the last 6 months? Give me a ballpark figure.
Well, I've got it in front of me, so I'm going to.
Oh, you're going to cheat, in other words.
Yeah. I'm really way ahead of you. But I mean, I'm not going to say, because I'm going to leave that up to you. This is big moves. This is massive.
It's a bear market move, and let's face it, 28.03% to be precise is what it's down. Down. So that's a bear market. Okay. And now if you go to Tencent and you look at it in Hong Kong dollars over the past 6 months, it's down 37.68% during that time period. These are really huge moves, a destruction of wealth on a grand scale.
Yeah, in rand terms, we look at Prosus on a rand term basis. We're looking at the price that is down now 30% over the past 6 months, and NASPAS not looking a lot different. NASPAS, remember, they had the advantage where they had a few good let's call it news over the past 6 months, where they came out with buybacks and they came out with restructuring. So, but still, that's 24% down in rand terms over the past 6 months. This is the biggest company on our JSE.
Yes.
The fact that we're actually still looking at positive figures is, I think, extremely positive for South Africa. It seemed, a lot of the feedback usually, when people were referring, especially the naysayers, the bears on the South African equity market, was always, but remember, it's a sort of a false positive when you look at the South African market, because it's pretty much just the NASPAS show. Strip NASPAS out of the index, and this would have looked a lot, a lot worse than it actually is. Now, when you look at a company that's close to 20% of the index, when I say index, I talk about the all share.
Yeah.
This is not bad. Thinking that the all share up to the end of July, which 2-3 days ago, was still up, 17% year to date. Add a company like NASPAS, who's dropped 24% over the past 6 months. Prosus that's dropped 30%. Massive portion of the all share. I think it's a good, and a positive sign that we are a little bit more diversified now than what we possibly were.
That's what I was going to say. Anyone that is skeptical about the diversification of a portfolio should look at the JSE and say, okay, the two biggest constituents of the JSE Securities Exchange have fallen into bear market territory over the last 6 months. If you just had them, then you'd be stuffed unless you had a very, very strict stop loss in place. In other words, a level where you would get out and say, I only want to lose 10%, I don't want to lose 30%. But on the other hand, thank goodness you had all those commodity stocks in your portfolio, Skulk.
No, I'm extremely, personally, I'm extremely grateful. But I do think that this is this sort of advocates again the let's call it the reason for active management, because now they say the only reason, way to find out who's swimming without bathing costumes is to wait for the tide to move out. Yeah, I think the tide just moved out, so I think it'd be really interesting for some of these let's call it multi managers, personal investors to just go and have a look at the, let's call it, local general equity fund managers, to see who's remained resilient you know, over this past 6 months.
Because and who
then,
has?
Then you'll know the, you'll know, and you'll immediately find out who's been doing proper risk management, proper diversification, and proper active management.
PSG Wealth, I hope. Anyway, we won't get into that. Otherwise, I'll get hate mail.
I mean, you're referring to PSG Asset Management.
That's and, the one. Yeah.
Credit where credit due. Now, just again for the listeners out there, it says, you know, Lindsay is gonna announce me at the end of the show as Skull Clover from PSG Wealth. PSG Wealth and PSG Asset Management are two different companies.
So I understand but obviously you feed your huge client base into products that you see fit, and the first place you would go would obviously be PSG Asset Management, I would have thought. I don't know how it works. Please tell us.
No, not at all. Actually, you know, PSG Wealth, we'd be totally impartial. So we would, you know, each of these practices, either this, let's call it separate partnerships, we kind of call it, within PSG Wealth, we totally objective. You know, if we're positive on the likes of a it's called PSG Asset Management, we'll buy into them. If we're not, then naturally we won't. So we don't need to invest in PSG Asset Management.
So you're independent, in other words.
Good.
Well, that's very encouraging. Okay, let's have a look at what happened on the JSE today. Liberty Holdings came out with their interim results, and Telkom came out with a trading statement. Those are the two ones. Neither particularly interesting, I don't think, Skulk. But did you look at them? Do you hold any of them? Either of them?
No, I don't. But I do think we you and I specifically need to just have a short chat on Telkom, because this is a company that we chatted about, you know, last year. And again, I've used the quote, you know, credit where credit is due. And last year, this time around, you know, when everything just went up into flames, I mean, this share price, you know, dropped down to, let's call it, you know, 14, 15 rand levels. I can't remember what the
yes, it was certainly a sub 20 and drowning below that 20 ceiling. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so I mean, if you felt strong back then, and which I didn't. I mean, I was really, you know, worried about the expenses, you know, the capital, the capex they needed to do to try and play catch up with the other, you know, mobile providers, because that was their main focus. You know, if you've listed them over the past, let's call it 24 months. The main focus was trying to eat into let's call it a already established mobile market. And they've done well. I mean, when you look at the mobile services, you know, revenue, that was up over the past 12 months, you know, by 13%. So it's clearly showing that they are making inroads. That's good. A few things stood out in the trading statement, because this is just a trading statement. We're still going to wait for the actual results to be announced. But, you know, when I look at this, there's a few things that stood out. The one thing that they mentioned in the trading statements is there are signs customers are under strain, including many opting to switch to prepaid options. You know, when people's got a steady income, steady salary, you know, they go and have these contracts, and it's easy, you know, to get if you've got a steady income. You know, when you don't have a steady income, you're not in a position to take out these contracts, and then prepaid is the main driver, and that they mentioned that they really saw a massive growth in their prepaid. We're talking about 46.8% growth in their prepaid market, which is not necessarily a good thing, you know, when we look at it from a South African economy point of view, because clearly that is showing us that the let's call it the job market is definitely under a massive amount of strain. So, in short, I think the group revenue is going to be up, you know, 3.5%. The EBITDA, looking at 7.3%. So in general, I thought it was not bad. I thought it was pretty good, and the market took it not overly optimistic. I mean, the share price is close to 1% in the green today. It just shows us that the market did to some extent like the trading update.
Okay, good. Let's have a look at another trading update. I won't tell you the name of the company. You're going to have to guess it. But you know it already because you've got so many screens in front of you. It says here, we are currently in our closed period and will release our results for the 6 month ended 30th of June 2021 on the JSE Securities Exchange, or Stock Exchange News Service rather, on Wednesday the 11th of August, which is in a week's time. In line with the commitment to adhere to the rules and everything else, headline earnings per share for the period is expected to increase by between 145 and 150% compared to the prior comparative period. Earnings per share for the period is expected to increase by between 297 and 302% compared to the prior comparative period. The name of the company is?
Nedbank.
Yes, exactly. These are big numbers. Yeah, I mean, obviously expected, but these are big numbers, of course.
This is big numbers. This is big numbers. We definitely, seeing the base effect. And this is just note that this is the 6 month period, ending 30 June. Compared to 30 June 2020 last year.
Right.
We should just remember that there was massive provisions made last year by most banks because they were looking and remember that on that stage COVID was really only 3 months old, and I know it's been in existence for longer, since March, but on that stage they were looking at massive bad debts methods, and they had to make provisions which did show their headline earnings per share a lot lower than what it would have naturally been, and now some of those provisions are being wrote back, and this is the base effect. But yeah, still, market, again, fairly lukewarm, 40 basis points stronger today.
Yes, indeed. Well, the announcement only came out at 5:05 after the JSE closed, so it's been interesting to see what the first couple of hours of trading tomorrow morning yields. Okay, let's have a look at some spot prices. The rand was in the low 14.20s today against the US dollar, Skulk. It's currently 14.39. The British pound against the rand is 20 on the nail. 17.03 is the euro rand. Euro dollar is 1.1834, and that's a dollar that is about a third of a percent firmer. What has that done to the gold price? Well, it hasn't really knocked it. It's down $4 an ounce to 1808, let's call it. And platinum suddenly. Yeah, I'm a bit worried about platinum, I must say. $33 down, or over 3%, to $1,028 per ounce. Palladium, I think, is barely changed at $26.50. The oil price. Yeah, commodities is not having a good couple of days because the West Texas crude oil price has fallen below $70 a barrel, and it's $69.15, which is exactly 2% weaker. Brent crude oil, $71.38, and that's about $5 off its recent high, down 1.4%. The CRB index has fallen from 236 to 228, let's call it, but tomorrow it'll be even lower. Bitcoin, 39,300, which is up 3%. The US 10-year Treasury yield, that's been in focus this week, 120, 1.20% is that yield. The South African 10-year bond yield, and again, 8.86%, which is, it's higher than this morning when it was 8.78%. S&P futures, you'll give us the live prices in a moment, but the S&P futures are down around about a third of a percent, just below 4,400. And this is one I'm going to bring in as well, and it's called the VIX, the Volatility Index. The S&P 500 VIX, 20.08, which is up 1.1%. I know a lot of people are very, very keen on this going higher between now and Labor Day in September because of the choppy conditions in other markets. Skulk, what should we have a look at now? Let's have a look at the top five major moves on the upside and the downside on my screen. I have got, and you can... You can shoot me down if my screen is too delayed. I've got Vukile up 3.5%, CUP up 3.5%, Process up 3.1%, Naspers up 2.8%, Textana up 1.9%. On the downside, Motus down nearly 4%, Pick and Pay is a 3.1% loser, Vodacom 2.8%, and it was a near 4% winner yesterday. Tiger Brands down nearly 2%, and Karoo, haven't seen that for a while, but anyway, it's a 1.9% downer. What have you got outside of those?
No, not a lot. I think the one, just a little mention, and I think referring to the company, compared to where it were, 2 years ago, as Storia. They actually also brought out a the summarized unaudited results for the 6 month ended 30 June. I'm not going to look into it. It's also a holding company, and they hold, you know, among other things, they hold Outdoor Investment Holdings, which is less known, but Aframat, Transhex. You know, when you look at Aframat and Transhex, that makes up pretty much, let's call it 27% of this holding company. Not to go too deeply, this is a company that's been under pressure, you know, in the news, not always for, you know, for good news. But today, they, you know, after the announcement, it did seem like they NAV is growing, and share price reacted positively, 7% in the green for today. So that's the only thing that really stood out. And I think the other one just worth a mention is the South African or you know, as they call it, the IHS market PMI figures that came out for South Africa today.
Yes,
it was forecasted that due to the let's call it the riots, the unrest that we've seen in last month,
yeah,
and also the COVID level 4 flare-ups, that would drop, you know, from the previous levels of 51 to 47, came out at 46.1, which is pretty much the lowest levels that we've seen in just a year. So,
hot on the heels, of course, Skalk, of the PMI, which came out on Monday, which was showed that the purchasing managers index fell from 54.7 the previous month down to 43.5, I think it was. But these are just once-off events. I hope they'll bounce back. And it's just because of the insurrection. I don't know what word to use now. Do I use the phrase civil unrest? I don't think it was civil at all. I think it was just blatant hooliganism organized by some puppet masters. But yeah, let's call it an insurrection, shall we? But yes, so what I'm saying is that these are probably once-off events, and although it's not going to bounce straight back because of the rebuilding that has to be done, but I don't think we'll see these lows again for a little while. I hope not anyway.
I agree with you, Lindsay, but this, you know, to attract investment in a country, you need confidence. You need investors' confidence. And, you know, when you got these type of blips on any PMI, you can look at it, you know, whichever PMI figures you get. If you get these blips, downward blips, you know, every now and then, you know, that sort of prohibits or create an environment where there's not confidence in a specific country. So we need this let's call it these type of indices to remain stable, remain above the 50 levels and growing. That's the only way we're going to attract investments. You know, if you're going to have these, you call it intermittent, you know, blips in or it's called civil unrest, if we're going to keep on getting these, then this is not positive for South Africa's economy.
It's not. But what about positivity on the JSE today? Give us the closing indices, please, Skalk.
Yeah, I mean, the markets was positive, as you mentioned. You know, 28 basis points stronger for the FTSE JSE All Share. Closed today at 68,898. Resource Index, they were positive 77 basis points. The Financial Index, they were barely unchanged, positive 8 basis points, and the Financial Index, they were down 26 basis points. We also saw that the SA Property Index, they were up 0.83%. When we look at the value traded for today, let's just quickly bring that up. Yeah, very, very lukewarm day. Not even a 19 billion value traded today. To be exact, you know, 18.96 value traded on the day. That's after yesterday's 24 billion. So fairly inactive day for today.
Before you go, give us live Wall Street, if you would. S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow Jones.
So as we currently stand, the Dow Jones is currently down 275 points. That's 78 basis points.
That was 278 points up yesterday. So, I mean, this thing has given back everything that it gained yesterday. And the day before, it was down 100. Hence my interest in the volatility index. Anyway, okay, so it's flat over 2 days. Off you go with the other ones.
I'm getting the idea that the COVID flare-ups is definitely creating some havoc. We've seen it in the oil price. I mean, now the West Texas Intermediate now down 3% for today. So so clearly we can see that these flare-ups are starting to definitely well in you know, on markets and on commodities. But just to get back, you know, Dow Jones, as I mentioned, 277 points down. S&P 500 currently down 18 points. That's 40 basis points in the red. And if we look at the NASDAQ actually positive, just 2 basis points, up 2.4 points.
Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. And Skalk will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening.